always a very special zechus to address such a chashuv olam, and particularly remarkable that you're. It's really not so remarkable, because what else should a person be doing erev Rosh Hashanah? No, seriously, but nevertheless, after slichus, and most of us say slichus in the middle of the night, so it is a davar yofe miyoyd. We have a great Talmud Chochem and great Darshan who just spoke before, and I asked him what he was speaking about, and one of the inyonim was the significance of Kol Nidre. I didn't intend to speak about it, but just very briefly I want to share with you a very simple pshat. I don't know that we have to go into the Olam HaYoinim all the time. Good once in a while, but very simple pshat, why we say Kol Nidre, which explains not only why we say it, but also why we call the night of Yom Kippur, the beginning of Yom Kippur, Kol Nidre. Okay. So why do we call it Kol Nidre night? Who's the chazan for Kol Nidre? It's strange. I don't know that anyone ever thought about that particular emphasis. Most of the discussion is about what is it all about? What is it? What do we do with it? In the halacha, that is certainly the case. But it seems to have generated a level of significance far beyond its halachic significance. So what is it? So I believe the answer is very poshut. There are two times of the year, two moments, that we say Lashon Haba B'Yerushalayim. At the end of the Seder Leil Pesach and on Yom Kippur. And the reason for that is very simple. Because, to borrow the expression, Ikar Choser Min HaSefer, there are 2 days where the essential moment, the essential aspect is so missing. We are denied it because of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, that whatever it is that we are doing is very, very empty in its core. And we have to manage. And the way in which we manage on Yom Kippur is with words. So words take on a significance without the Beis HaMikdash and without the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol, perhaps more than ever before. When there's no Ishim and Nichoichim, there's no Kohen Gadol, there's no Lifnai v'Lifnim, there's no Ketores, there's no Lishon Shel Zohairis, there isn't the Sayer HaMishtaleach, we're missing everything. So we are just left with the Peh. And what we need to corroborate at the beginning of Yom Kippur, which is one long day of talking to Hashem, pleading with Hashem, begging Hashem, and doing tshuva with words, ein vidu yela bepeh. That was always the case, but here it's even more so because we don't have that level of kapara of the karbonas. So the tsumo shel yoyim mechaper, it's all through words. So we have to validate the significance of our words, and therefore we need to erase all of the failings of those words before we can start that clean slate and say, Ribbono Shel Olam, we take words very, very seriously, Kol Nidre. And therefore, it became the term of choice for the entire beginning of Yom Kippur. That's what I wanted to suggest to you. I believe it's Lamita Shel Torah. The four Rambams that I wanted to share with you, learn with you, are actually rooted, they're grounded in the parshiyos that we are engaged in, Nitzavim Vayelech and Ha'azinu, in this manim of tshuva. The Rambam in Hilchos Sefer Torah, the connection is obvious. Rambam number 2. The pasuk of Mitzvahs Ksiva Sefer Torah is in Parshas Vayelech. We just learned it yesterday. Va'ato kisavu lochem es hashira hazos. So that's obvious, the connection to the Mashiach. The third Rambam is not so obvious, but we will explain it. The fourth Rambam is also obvious because the Rambam mentions Ha'azinu. But as much as we need to explain the third Rambam, I suspect that the first Rambam, no one would be able on his own perhaps to figure out what is the connection. But really, when we think about it, the Rambam quotes a pasuk from Nitzavim, and the Rambam is trying to tell us something which is very much different from the Gemara in Maseches Psachim. What daf are you up to in the daf Yomi? Oh, so you're way beyond that. So everybody remembers the famous Gemara. Let's begin with that Rambam. Rambam number one. Though the truth is, everyone knows this Gemara. Even if you don't know anything else in Psachim, but this Gemara is very famous. Yaakov Avinu, says the Gemara, had intended to be Megala the Kates, and he was not able to do so. And he thought, I choshed b'ksheirim loike b'gufay. There's a mitzvah to be done with kapslus. You're not allowed to be choshed b'ksheirim. So the answer is that Yaakov Avinu suspected that he was following a pattern that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, which in Kabbalah is a very significant principle of separating lehoitzi yokar mizolel, of separating the chaff from the wheat, and to be able to separate that, you need that one of the children should not be b'seder. So without going into it, obviously Avraham had Yishmael, Yitzchak had Esav, so perhaps, even though it was evident that Yishmael was Yishmael, and was even more so evident that Esav was Esav, maybe not Yitzchak, you know, it's not Poshet. But it's clear that all of the sons are the Seder, but since there's that possibility, so he's entitled, if he finds that he's not able to be Megala, the Kates, to reveal to them the Achris Hayomim, that maybe the reason is because there's a Pegam in his Zaray, the Mitosa is not Shlema, and therefore he challenged them, says the Gemara, whereupon all of them proclaimed Shema Yisrael, Yisrael Avinu, Yisrael Sava, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Whereupon he responded and he said, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchusa. And then the Gemara has a whole question, Lahalocha, should we say it, should we not say it? Should we say it? Because Yaakov Avinu said it. Should we not say it? Moshe lo yamorei. So what is the resolution of that? That we say it b'lechisha, b'lachash. Since when does b'lachash, by the way, become a resolution of anything? B'lachash is dibur. So there are some sfarim that suggest, perhaps, that b'lachash is really a mitigation, a diminishing of dibur. And it's not considered a hefsek. I don't believe that that's the right approach at all. It doesn't have anything to do with hefsek whatsoever. And I'll try to explain that in a moment. But I'd like to turn your attention to the Rambam. The Rambam is absolutely, this Rambam, who tells the story that we just told about Yaakov Avinu and his sons, is totally not based on this Gemara. Because if it would be, then there are critical elements of the story that the Rambam left out, and there are critical elements in the Rambam that are not mentioned in the Gemara at all. Let's take a look at the Rambam inside. The Rambam in Perek Aleph Halacha Dalet, right at the beginning of Hilchos Kriya Shema, wants to tell you about Baruch Shem. And where does it come from, and what is it all about? HaKoyle Kriya Shema Kishuhu Goyme Pasuk Rishoyin Oyme Balachash Baruch Shem Kvod Malchusay Loilam Voed. Shema yesh bachem paslus mi she'enoi oimid imi b'yichud Hashem ki inyon she'om alonu Moshe Rabbeinu pen yesh bachem isha isha. Right. You know, sometimes when you have the Goymer it's a travesty. I'm serious. Because the Begoymer might be the ikar of what you need to know. This comes from a time when the scribes were, I wouldn't use the word lazy, but they weren't getting paid by the word. And Lemaisa, everybody knows the pasuk, so why should I write out the whole pasuk? It's quite possible, and this, by the way, this is true in the Gemara as well, but it's quite possible that a pasuk is quoted, and the chelik of the pasuk that you need is not quoted at all, and it's very confusing. So really, we have to know the entire pasuk. Pen yesh b'chem what? Isha isha. Etc., etc. And that is our pasuk itself. And that's why I brought it as the first of the four. So he says, Kederech Sha'amar Moshe Rabbeinu. Ke'inyon Sha'amar Lono Moshe Rabbeinu Pen Yesh Bechem Yisho Yisho. Onu Kulam, the sons responded, Va'amu Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad Kloimar. Shema Mimenu Avinu Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Pasach hazokin v'omah boch shem poi malchus le'olam v'ed. V'fikach no'agu kol Yisrael lo'im ha'shevach sheshivach boi Yisrael hazokin acha posuk zeh. That's the Rambam. What are the critical elements that the Rambam left out? There is no notion of bikesh legalos es haketz. There is also no notion that he was choshed them. It does not say in the Rambam one word about the fact that Avraham had Yishmael and Yitzchak had Esav. The whole parsha has a different slant to it entirely. Furthermore, what is the yisoid that's mentioned in the Rambam that's not mentioned bichlal in the Gemara? Kederech sha'ama lonu Moshe Rabbeinu. What does the Rambam want? Why is he bringing Moshe Rabbeinu? I don't mean whether you should say it or not say it, which the Rambam also left out completely. But the Rambam speaks about it that it should be said the balachash, but he doesn't explain why it should be said Balachash. But he doesn't give you the background of Gemara, not in this, and not in the Inyan of Bikesh Legalos, and not in the Inyan of being Choshed, and instead he adds to the mix that Yaakov Avdinu is doing something which is parallel to what Moshe Rabbeinu was doing. Furthermore, the Lashon of the Rambam, who's very careful about every word, is interesting. Sivam Vizam. Sivam Vizerzam. Why the Kefal Halosha? He was mitzavah, he commanded, vizerzam, and he encouraged them, ziruz, kohanim's reasoning, vizerzam. Then there's another Losha that's very fascinating. V'shal oisam v'omar lohem. I always thought that shal means to ask and omar means to tell. How could you be shal v'omar? So I think that the answer to all of these questions is that the Rambam did not derive this story from the Gemara, but rather from a Medrash. And what the Rambam is saying here is actually very fascinating and is very much related to the whole Inyan of Nitzavim. What is the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu asks the Rambam implicitly, asks them, Pen yesh b'chem shoresh peyre roish v'lano, Pen yesh b'chem isha isha asher levavo foneh hayom? It's intriguing for the following reason, and I think that this was bothering the Rambam very much. At the end of Parshas Kisavo, and last I saw Parshas Kisavo ends and Parshas Nitzavim begins. So we're talking about mamish a few psukim apart in the Hemshech of the Torah. Because the Parshias we have because we finished the cycle. But if you're looking at the Torah itself, it's mamish adjacent one to the other. And they came and they complained when he said, give the Sefer Torah to the Levim, and they said, you're giving away the Sefer Torah, we don't want you to give away the Sefer Torah, tomorrow the Sefer Torah will be forgotten, it will seem that it's only for the Levim, as Rashi brings the Medrash. This is a moment in the history of Klal Yisrael, which except perhaps for Maimon HaSinai, is the highest moment that they ever reached. This door that's about to enter into Eretz Yisrael is feeling a certain hiskashrus to the Ribbono Shelom, Hashem Ha'amarto, Hashem Ha'amircha. It is incredibly close to the level that was reached before the Chet HaEgel, and there's an understanding of the Torah and the mitzvahs and Moshe Rabbeinu and his teachings that never was achieved until that moment. Why in the world should Moshe Rabbeinu continue a few psukim later and suspect them and suggest Pen Yesh Bechem Asher Levavo Foneh Hayom Me'im Hashem Elokeinu? Had Moshe Rabbeinu suggested that in the future, Hazinu Hashemayim, there will be such people, perhaps, and that's why Ma'avrucha Bevis, fine. But Asher Levavo Foneh Hayom Me'im Hashem Elokeinu? Mehecha Taisa. It's a tremendous question, and I think that this question was bothering the Rambam, even though he doesn't say one word. So what's the answer? What's the Rambam's answer? The Rambam's answer is that he had no suspicions whatsoever. So what's Pen Yesh Bechem Yisho Yisho? I'd like to tell over a story that I heard from Rabbi Maimon Zalzain Gesundenstock from Seattle. He was a Talmud actually in the Rav Shir a long, long time ago, just when the Rav was starting. He came from Turkey and he was on a boat together with his parents and the rest of his family, and the boat was literally on the verge of capsizing in a terrible storm. The father of the family took out the Chumash, their family Bible, as it were, and he asked each and every one of them to come up to that Chumash, put his hand on the Chumash, and take a Shvua. That when they arrive in America, every one of them commits himself and the Doris that issue forth from them, Be'ezus Hashem, to a life of Shmiras Torah Mitzvahs, and that you should not veer in the Treif of Medina from anything that they accepted and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded them. And one after the other came up and put his hand on that Sefer Torah. And as Rabbi Maimon says, when the last one was finished, the storm ceased. I was thinking about that Maisa when I was thinking about this Rambam. You know, sometimes you can tell a person Divrei Musa, and they're very important. What was wrong if he would have said to them, you know, we're going to America, it's a Treifa Medina, let's make sure that all of us are going to be Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. Why the dramatics? It's Mushba V'yomid Mehasina, you know. You don't, that Shvua is not even a Shvua. What's it? Now the Teretz is, sometimes you need those dramatics. Sometimes you need that critical quality of inspiration that comes from that dramatic act, from that challenge, as it were. What's happening here is that Achris Yomov Shel Moshe Rabbeinu, he has to leave them with a message that they will never ever forget. And he needs that they should hear that they have the possibility of turning away from Hashem, even as they know themselves, Hayoyim Hazeh Niyei Salam, as they know, Inayim Lirois Vasnayim Lishmoya Ad Hayoyim Hazeh, even though they know all of that, they still have to hear Pen Yesh Bechem, because they have to respond to the challenge and say, Chatz V'Sholem. And my guess is that when Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to them that way, that each and every one of them responded, Chatz V'Sholem, even though we have no record of it in the Torah. We have in this moment of Moshe Rabbeinu an exact parallel, says the Rambam, to what happened with Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, according to the Rambam, has no suspicions whatsoever. There is no reason for him to wonder about the mitosa shlema of the Shiftei Kah. They are perfect. And they are perfect in their resolve. Yaakov Avinu is speaking at the last moment of his life. This is the end of the Avos. And the Bechir Sheba Avos, the Midas Tiferes, is now giving the mission statement for the rest of history. And he needs to make that Roshem, and he needs to exact from them, to extract from them that pledge with fervor, with fire, which can only come from a language of challenge. So I don't like the word artificial, but he creates a moment where he forces them to respond to a challenge. And he says to them, maybe you're not Beseder. And they come back and they say, Shema Yisrael, absolutely not. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And in that declaration, there is a declaration for all the Doros. And Memela, in that declaration, was an unbelievable moment of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, of people who are Yireyim Ushleimim to the core. But there's that moment of unbelievable Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, and Ke'ilu the Shechina reveals itself, and he says, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Voed. What we are doing in every generation is repeating that moment. We are speaking to Yaakov, and we are saying to him, Shema Yisrael Sova, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And Yaakov is responding in the same voice, but it's really Yaakov's response. Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Voed. Now, it's very fanciful. How do I know that? I'll tell you something very fascinating. In our Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, where is our Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim? Where does it begin in that pasuk? Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So what about Shema Yisrael? Shema Yisrael is simply a chelik of the pasuk, and you're not supposed to say half a pasuk. But be'etzem, we could say Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's our declaration. So why do we say Shema Yisrael? Because that's what it says in the pasuk. But the original Shema Yisrael that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Bnei Yisrael, he was telling them Shema Yisrael. He's talking to Bnei Yisrael. He says, "I want you to pay attention. I want you to listen. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad." So is that correct? Does the Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim begin after the word Yisrael in that pasuk? So I think according to the Rambam it is not so. And I would like to suggest that according to the Rambam, our declaration of Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is not to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as it were, or to one another, but is to Yaakov Avinu. We say Yaakov Avinu, we are thousands of years later, and we are saying to you, Shema Yisrael Avinu, just like the, nothing changed. The Masorah is so intact, it's so perfect, our commitment is so absolute, that we are standing in the place where your children, the boys are over, now begins the Shvatim, begins Klal Yisrael, we are Klal Yisrael, we are the Shvatim, we are talking to you, the Bechir Sheba'obos, we are responding to your challenge, and we are telling you, Shema Yisrael Avinu, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. In that sense, it is a chelek of our Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, because the Shema Yisrael intimates that our commitment is so total and so absolute that it can in fact equal the Madrega of the Shvatim when they responded to Yaakov Avinu, which is a perfect Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. And to that, and in confirmation of that, we ourselves stand in the shoes kivayochol of Yaakov, and we respond to our own level of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu with Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso. It's a very, very nice drash. Is there any support to it? The answer is absolutely. There is a medrash, and I believe that this medrash is the source of the Rambam. And the medrash says that we say, when we say in Yalkut Shemayni on the Pasuk Shema Yisrael V'eschanan, you can find it very easily, that we say when we speak these words, when we utter these words, Shema Yisrael, we say, Shema Yisrael Avinu Hashem Elokeinu Hashem. That we're actually, the Medrash says beferish, that we are talking to Yaakov Avinu. The Kitzur, what the Rambam is saying here is very simple. He's telling us that Yaakov Avinu, like Moshe Rabbeinu, were at a moment when they were giving their last and final message. And that message demands a challenge, because without a challenge, you cannot have that response. And it's Einei Daima, the feeling in your heart, putting your hand on the Chumash and swearing. That's the way it is. It's a different hasaga when Rabbi Maimon, the son, who is now a Zokin Muflag, Zalzayn Gesundten Staat, is repeating the story with tears in his eyes. He is feeling that challenge all over again, decades and decades later, in a large mishpacha all over the place. Every one of them Yireyim Ushleimim. And this is an incredible thing. If you have that sense of Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, you can remain steadfast no matter how much the tempests of the world of history are tossing the boat of Klal Yisrael. That's the way it is. and Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of his life, Yaakov Avinu at the end of his life, these represent critical moments. They have to throw the gauntlet, you know, they have to throw the challenge. They have to tell Bnei Yisrael, Pen Yesh Bachem, Kederach Sha'am Alon Moshe Rabbeinu, Pen Yesh Bachem, Yishol Yishol Mishpacha, Shevet Shelev Avofo, Me'a Yom, Me'yim Hashem Elokeinu Lechis La'avod Elohi. Unbelievable, Avodah Zara? The people who say, Pen Yesh Bachem Shoresh Pere Rosh V'Lam, Give a Shrirus Libi Eilech. That is why the Shvatim responded. It wasn't a suffix, it wasn't a chashad, it wasn't Bikesh Legalos Esakets. It's another chazal entirely. It's two versions of the story, so to speak. But each version has its lesson, each version has its import. But this is the Rambam. Why Balachash? I think the answer is very pashut. This is already a lumdish in the Kuda, which doesn't have really very anything to do, but I'll say it anyhow. It's Kedai to learn the whole Rambam, as it were. There is in Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim a remarkable thing. You can't say it in your own words. This isn't a takon of Anshei Knesset HaGdola. For whatever reason, we don't go into now. We don't have the time for it. But for whatever reason, there's a chiyuv to say a parsha. That's why it's called Kriyas Shema. It's not called Amira Shema. The Kriyas Shema means the recitation of certain parshiyos. There are certain critical parshiyos which represent Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos, and so on. And the Rambam explains why we read them and why we read them in that sequence. When you come to the words Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, you have to indicate that what you are saying afterwards is an interpolation. It is a disturbance of the Kriya. And the way you do that, very simply, is to change, to modulate your voice. That's all that's necessary. Because by modulating your voice, by saying it belechisha, you have indicated that this is not part of the parsha. And that's how the Rambam understood Lo Ya'amarei Moshe. We have a tape recording of Moshe Rabbeinu Shema Yisrael. Now the Teretz says Lo Ya'amarei Moshe, and the Gemara already means that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he gave us the parsha, he did not have that pasuk. There's no pasuk like that in the parsha. How dare we interrupt the parsha? The Teretz says we do it because of Yaakov Avinu, but it's called Kriyas Shema. So therefore we solve the problem because we need it, but we don't want it to appear as it's part of the parsha. So we do it balachash, and it's crystal clear by doing it balachash that it doesn't belong. Somebody did that. When I said this one, somebody jumps up and says, so how do we ever say it out loud like on Yom Kippur? The Torah says if 99% of the time you do it that way, we already know what it's all about. You know, it's not an isur. It's simply that we have to indicate that this is not a chelik of the Kriya Shema Etzem, but is actually a teguva. And the way I understand the Rambam, the teguva is that we are acting instead, in the stead, means in the place of. Not instead, you know, instead of Yaakov Avinu, because we are responding to our statement to Yaakov Avinu. And that's why I believe that Shema Yisrael itself, according to the Rambam, is a chelik of the Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. In other words, what we are saying, Hashem Lekin, Hashem Echad, it's with incredible intensity and in response to a challenge. Whose challenge? The challenge of Yaakov Avinu himself. In all the Doros, we are responding that way. The next Rambam. The Rambam says, Mitzvah Sasei Al-Kalish V'Ishmi Yisrael Lichtov Sefer Torah L'Atzmo Yishenema V'Ato and Nal Kisvu Lachem Es Hashira Hazos. You know very well that there's a machlokes between amongst the Rishonim, and specifically between the Rambam and the Ramban, about what is it exactly, Kisvu Lachem Es Hashira Hazos. What is the Shira? So the Ramban says that Shira is a word for the entire Torah. The Rambam clearly says that the Shira is Hazir. How do we know? Well, look at the Rambam. Ata kisvu lachem es hashira, kloima kisvu lachem Torah sheyesh bo shira zu. V'fi she'en kosvin ha-Torah parshiyos parshiyos. This led to a whole literature, as it were, of Torah, because of the Shagas Aryeh's kasha. Shagas Aryeh says that the Rambam himself paskened in Hilchos Tam that even though you're not allowed to write Dvarim Shebe, the parshiyos of the Torah, and read from those parshiyos, nevertheless, if you write an entire sefer, a chumash of the five chumashim, you are not becoming a tzibur, but you are allowed to write it. So if the whole din is to write the shira of Hazinu, but you can't write the shira of Hazinu by itself, so then write sefer Dvarim. Why do you need Reish Shmos and Vayikra Bamid? It's a gvaldik akasha, and there are many terutzim. But the bottom line, for me at least, is that whatever those terutzim are, they don't interrupt or interfere, because some of the terutzim do. But they don't interfere with the idea that the ikar reason that we are commanded, each and every one of us, to write a sefer Torah, is because we are mechuyev to have hazinu in our house. Plain and partial. Each person has to have his own hazinu. You have to write the whole Torah. It's an incredible thing. So what is it exactly that we have to write Hazi? What is the significance of Hazi? The fourth Rambam tells us something that maybe some of us didn't know. We're so used to having Oz Yosher, and we have Oz Yosher before Yishtabach, because we allowed into the portal of the Psukei de Zimra things that are not Shirei David Avdecha. But in the time of the Rambam, that was not the case. Shirei David Avdecha, Shirei David Avdecha, it's Tehillim. And the Inyan of Psukei de Zimra is because David HaMelech is Ne'im Zmiras Yisrael. And as important as Shiras Hayam is, it was not something that was incorporated in the framework of Baruch Shomar to Yishtabach. But the Rambam says that there was a minig nevertheless, that after Yishtabach is over, before they said Kaddish, before Baruch Hu, they would recite the Shiva. Which Shiva? So he tells us an amazing thing. In some kehillahs they recited the Shira of Oz Yosher. In other kehillahs they recited the Shira of Hazinu. And there are some kehillahs that used to say both. That's the Rambam. So we want to understand why the Shira of Oz Yosher, Psukei de Zimra, Shevach Vahidoya. What is it about Hazinu that entitles us to incorporate it into that place, into that spot between the Psukei de Zimra and the Poyres HaLashma of Yotzer Ar? And what's it doing there? We might as well, while we're at it, ask, why is Hazinu a Shira? Teretz says, because it looks like a Shira. It's written differently. That's just begging the question. So why is it written differently? Yeah, we know that some shiras and shiras of Yosher is the perfect example. Ariach al gabi leveno, leveno al gabi ariach, and shiras hazinu is like aseres b'nei homo. And that's also a question that Rishonim discuss. We need to focus here a little bit. What is it exactly about hazinu that warrants two things? One, which is critical, that each one is mechuyev to write a sefer Torah because of hazinu, and have the hazinu. And the second one is, the second question, which is not as critical, but where is the minute coming from that hazinu should be recited every single day right before Baruch Hu? In order to answer that question, interestingly enough, I would like you to take a look at number three. Because number three is the answer to number two and number four. The Rambam, number one, is critical in terms of our own commitment to Hashem when we say Kriyat Shema. Number four, we know what we do. We say Oz Yosher, and we say it before Yishtabach. Number two, no question of writing a Sefer Torah. We know we have to write the whole Sefer Torah. And the Shitas Arosh that Sforim can substitute for it, perhaps. Or maybe writing an ois, and on and on and on. Number three is very much halacha lemaisa, and tragically and unfortunately, very much an abused halacha. Very abused. Abused. A-B-U-S-E-D. No, I don't want to mince words. It's abused. And because it's abused, it has helped a good portion of Klal Yisrael that consider themselves Erlich HaYidah to literally destroy the davening in Shul. and the whole concept of a shul, the whole concept of what it means to be a Beis HaKnesses. The Rambam says in number 3, let's read the whole Rambam, but I am interested in one segment particularly. Hoya mahalich mimokum lemokum v'seifa teure imoy lo yaniach seifa teure b'tach hasak v'yanichin al gabi hachamor v'yikav alof. He shouldn't put it in a bag, hang it on the saddle of the donkey, and then sit on the saddle. Hoya mispachin aganov v'muta, because then it's to protect the seifa teure. V'mein shom pachat, so what should he do instead? Manichoy b'cheikoy k'neged liboy v'ureichiv ala behema v'hoylech. Fine. Next, call me she yoshev lifnei sefer Torah. Yeshev b'kovid rosh be'ema v'fachad. Those are heavy words. And the Rambam is, as I told you before, and as everybody knows, you don't need me, was very careful. The Rambam took 10 years of the Rambam, the Rambam's kishreinus and ruach hakodesh, to write the sefer Yad HaChazok. So when he writes these three phrases, it's b'kavona atzuma, b'kovid rosh, number one, be'ema, number two, v'fachad, number three. Very heavy words. Ema v'fachad. Shehu ha'ed ha'ne'emon l'chol ba'ei olam. Sheneemar v'ho yoshon b'chol ha'ed. Yichabdeu kifi koichoi, etc., etc. M'chachom rishonim kol mechalol et sator gufa m'chol ala b'yis. Chol mechabit sator gufa m'chol ben ala b'yis. That's the end of the halacha. What is the Rambam talking about? What does he mean when he says Shehu ha'ed ha'ne'emon? That's the reason why when I sit in the presence of the Sefer Torah, by the way, it doesn't say necessarily that the Sefer Torah is out. As far as I am concerned, if the Sefer Torah is ensconced in the Aron Kodesh and the door is closed and the Parashas is covered, maybe if the Aron Kodesh is in a different makom, technically speaking, alright. But other than that, if a person has his own Sefer Torah and it's in his living room hutch, and it's right there, then in that room he's mechuyev perpetually to be those three words, b'kovid rosh ve'ema v'fachad. Feel like what? What is the reason for that, asks the Rambam. There's a maisa that I always tell over, which is, I don't know if it's true, it's just too good to be true. But there's a maisa that, you know, people go to mekubalim, and each mekubal has his derech, his trick. So she went to a mekubal. She was having a lot of tzoris. There was a lot of dissonance in her life, and she was very distressed and distraught. And she went to the mekubal that he should solve her problem. So the mekubal says, "My derech is you have to describe to me. If there's dissonance in your life, there's something wrong with the array of your house." So he didn't tell her to check the mezuzah, or maybe he did, and it was after she checked the mezuzah, everything is fine. I don't know, but he tells, describe it room by room. She gets to the living room. And she says that in this corner is the television, and the sofa, and this, and the table, and the coffee the table, and then the books on the coffee table, v'chulu, v'chulu. And in this corner, we have the heirloom from my great-grandfather, who was a sefer. We have the sefer Torah. He says, what? You have a sefer Torah and a television in this room? That's the source of all of your problems. The next day she went, and she gave the sefer Torah to her brother. So it is. It's not poshut. You have a sefer Torah in the room, but aim of a fachat. That's what I believe. That even if it's, in, it doesn't mean when it's out. Yoshev lifnei sefer. But either way, what does the Rambam want? What does he want? What does he mean? Shehu ha'ed ha'ne'emon. He doesn't say because a sefer Torah is a great thing. Sefer Torah is Dvar Hashem. Sefer Torah ain't kleinikat. No. Shehu ha'ed ha'ne'emon. In other words, the Rambam is telling you the following. And whatever the milus and chashivas of the Sefer Torah are, you are not going to find in those milus anything to warrant this level called Kovid Rosh Eim of Afachad. What are you afraid of? Sefer Torah is your friend. What is the Eim of Afachad? So you could have even answered that. Yeah, but it's still Dvar Hashem, that's this and that. No, he has a reason. Shehu ha'ed ha'ne'emon. This reason is consistent, by the way, with the Rambam's whole approach to Ksiva Sefer Torah. It's one and the same. Because according to the Rambam, the whole tachlis of Ksiva Sefer Torah is what?
Hazinu.
Hazinu. And why is it that Hazinu is so important that you have to write a Sefer Torah? What is Hazinu?
It describes the age.
So that's right. How do you know that it's Eidus? Because the Pasuk says so explicitly. What is Kol Yosham B'chol Eid? Yavienu. V'chal B'sovah V'doshein. V'fonoel Elohim Acherim. V'neyatsuni V'hefer Esbisi. V'onso Hashira Azois. Over and over it repeats itself, once in the language of Hashem, once in the language of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's unbelievable. The whole point of the Shira is that the Shira is a testimony in advance given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is spelling out our destiny and our future and our failings and our ultimate triumph, and that is what each and every Jew has to have in his house. Kisvu lochem es hashira azois v'lamdo es bnei Yisrael sima b'fiyam l'man t'yeli ha-toyra azois l'eid b'bnei Yisrael. The tachlis is l'man t'yeli ha-toyra hashira azois, I mean l'eid b'bnei Yisrael. The shira specifically is a hagodas eidus. Everybody understands that if a person is a defendant in a very serious case and the consequences might be many, many years in jail and the testimony of the key witness is going on and he's sitting here and doodling or filling out the New York Times crossword puzzle as Azavista Meshuggah now. When a person has the testimony of the Eidus of the Torah, I suspect that it makes no difference whether the Torah is open or closed, because no one who has a Sefer Torah in front of him doesn't have the mental on the Sefer Torah, and if it's open for a parsha, it doesn't have to be parsha Azinu. And Afal Pi Kein, it's always testifying. The Chepza of the Sefer Torah is one of these tape recordings that is on a loop. And every moment of every day, all year long, summer and winter, Shabbos and Yom Tov, it makes no difference. This testimony, this Beis Din is never closed. And the testimony confirms over and over and over again the challenge and the fail, the whole of Nitzom Vayelech that leads to Hazinu. And therefore, when a person hears that testimony, and he hears it all the time, he just doesn't pay attention, that's why. That's the problem. And that's why I think we said Hazinu before Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. There's a big question of why they said the Shira of Az Yashir, because it could be that the whole Shira was because of one word, Hashem Yimlech Lo'olam Vo'ed, which is also Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. But Hazinu is the testimony that says, don't fail me. In a strange way, I mean, maybe it's not so strange, what we said before in the Rambam about Yaakov Avinu is actually repeated through Hazinu. And actually, that's Atem Nitzom Vayom Kulchem, because Nitzom Vayelech and Hazinu is one Chavtza. Nitzom Vayelech is the Pirush Rashi of what Hazinu is all about. And the Pasuk of Lamantia Shielos Lilei B'nei Yisrael is not in Hazinu, it's before Hazinu. And that is exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to hear, the same thing that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted us to hear. It is that challenge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, you better straighten out, because you're not B'seder. We are B'seder today. Hazinu HaShemayim, Al Hashem Tikul Uzos HaNova V'loi Chochom. Lu Chochmu Yaskil Uzos Yavinu La'acharisom. Eicho Yichtof Echad Elef, Shnayim Yanisu V'vav. This is the entire Golos of Klal Yisrael being described, until finally to that one moment, Harninu Goyim Amoy Kidam Avod of Yikar. And that is perhaps why Hazinu is Ariach Hagabi Ariach, because the Gemara tells us that the reason that the Shiras are Ariach Hagabi Levinu Gabi Ariach, as opposed to Aseres B'nei Homa, the Gemara Megillah, is because Aseres B'nei Homa should not have a tekuma when you have a wall and the bricks are lined up straight up. Wind gives a big blow and the whole thing caves in. But when it has that interlaced quality, it strengthens the wall and it allows it to resist the winds. When you have a shira that we want to survive kivayochol, then we want it to be Ariach Hagabi Levena. The Aseres B'nei Homa has in common with Hazinu only one thing, that we do not want to remain with that threat and that danger and that aid and that aim and the pachad of the consequences of our failings of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That should not happen to Kula. We have in the Mefarshim a slightly different explanation, because the Goyim, the nations of the world that pinek us, that make us miserable, Ad HaYoyim, they should not have the tekuma. So the only pasuk really that counts is the harninu goyim amoy kidam avodah yikai. But however you explain it, everyone understands that the brunt of hazinu is the testimony that HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivers in advance, which we can lay in and hear, and we ought to lay in and hear every single day of our lives where we are right now, and say, Ribbono Shel Olam, we really shouldn't be failing you. It's a terrible thing. And I'm scared out of my wits of what tomorrow will bring. That's the truth. And we are. We really are. When a person comes into shul, there are 100 reasons why he shouldn't talk Sicha B'Teila. 100 reasons why during davening there should be no interruptions. Because 99% of the time the interruptions are with Narishkeiten. So it's a double problem. Not only is it a hefsek issue, so something, well, here you're allowed to talk. But it's a problem, what are you talking and what are you saying? And sometimes it leads to Isurin, Lashon Hara, Nivu Peh, even Chachmono Litzlan, somebody gets excited. Well, Maisa, the bottom line is that the place is full of Kedusha and Tara, and it should remain that way. And nobody should interrupt with anything. The emerson is, if you want to know the truth, as much as it is against our grain, a shul should be much more like a mausoleum than like a circus. I mean, that's the truth. The aim of a fachad is a description of a place where you really are afraid to enter. Now, when a person has that shira going on, then enochanami, when that edus is being, you know, you walk into the, it's just an analogy, but you come into that place in Yad Vashem, and it's pitch dark, and all you hear are those voices and the reading of the names and the pictures, and the emesn is eschaptat sitta more than any book and any description, anything else. That really is an analogy. But a person walking into shul has to feel not the awesome kedusha only, not the makam hashchina only, but rather that here is the place where the edus is going on, where all around you are surrounding the echoes of those ruchachmu yaskilu, those words, of those words, al Hashem tigalu zos, those words. Unbelievable. In this particular moment, we have to ask ourselves the question, so why is it called Beis HaKnesses? Beis HaKnesses sounds adorable, much more like the circus than the mausoleum. The Beis HaKnesses. You know, it's an amazing thing. This Gemara is the only Gemara that the Reform knows. The Talmudic Gemara. Gemara says that you're not allowed to call a Beis HaKnesses a Beis Am. You know that a lot of Reform temples are called Bet Am. It's Pilei Ploy that they know that Gemara. Moshe Katoyim that they know that Gemara. But why is Beis HaKnesses is Beit Am? That's exactly what the Gemara is trying to say. You can't call an Aron Kodesh Arayna. It's not a closet. But it is a closet. No, it's not a closet. You call it a closet, the siman that you're completely off base. And cursed is the person that calls a Beis HaKnesses a Beis Am. Because the understanding of Knesses, so the Mashor says, because it's a meeting of the Shekhinah with Bnei Yisrael. I think that Kness means that there's a reason for gathering that is transcendent for the individual and his personal needs and whatever, because the coming together creates a concept of tzibur, and it is a place for tzibur. But Knesset never meant Beis Am, because Beis Am is a community center. That's what Beis Am is. And a shul is not a community center. It's so far from a community center that unfortunately we are so removed from this idea of the Rambam. Of the aim of a fachad, especially, not even the Kovid Rosh, it's not enough. The aim of a fachad, that we can't see the opposite of a community center in a shul. And we even justify it. We're exhausted from a week of work. We want to get together with our chaverim. We love our chaverim. We love the people that we sit next to. They are our yedidim, either because we chose to sit next to them or they became our yedidim because we spent all time in shul talking to one another and they became our yedidim. You know, the whole idea of the comfort level, and then you have a shtibel, that seems to be like, you know, that word shtibel, I don't know where that came into the picture, but that's Beit Am times 10. No, really, it's an amazing thing. And let me tell you something. You think it's so posh to eat kugel in a Beis Medrash? It's not posh to halacha at all, especially if you have an alternative. But Gedolei Legimus Shemekareva says Hareyos. It's a wonderful thing to sit. Isn't it wonderful? First you daven, then you have, after you finish davening Kiddush, today it's a little bit different. First you have Kiddush, then you daven. Start davening, then you have Kiddush, and then you continue davening. There are many permutations of this. You know, depending on one thing most of the time, does the Rav give a drasha or not? Because whenever the Rav is giving a drasha, that's when you'll have the Kiddush. Abba Lamaisa, this is an incredible thing. The whole of Klal Yisrael's yearning for a moment of peace and tranquility. And I'm being down the kapskos here. I'm serious. We're yearning for a moment of tranquility, a moment of respite. The week is difficult, and the davening, if we go to shul, it's rushed and it's pressured, and we have things on our heads. And we have to have a seder in learning and this and that and whatever. But Lamaisa, it's catch as catch can, and then finally we have that moment called Shabbos. Bo Shabbos, bo. It's very hard to remember Menucha Sam Dom Emes Muna Menucha Emes Vemuna. Shalom v'shalva v'ashkei v'vedach Menucha Shleima Shatar Rotzeba. Okay, what is that? Menucha Shleima is Menucha Shleima. You just finished saying what it is. Shatar Rotzeba. Yakiru v'necha v'yedu. What's Yakiru? What is there to be makir? Everybody knows what Shabbos is. Yakiru v'necha v'yedu ki meitchahi menuchasam v'al menuchasam Yakdisha Shmecha. You know Yakdisha Shmecha, strange thing. Shabbos is not one of the Yahrid Val Yabas. The Torah says that's not what Yakdisha Shmecha means here, but Afka. Amenuchasim Yakdisha Shmecha. You could say it does. When there's a Zayr of Shmad, and Shabbos is one of those things, Afiru Alakas of the Misanah. So of course it's Yakdisha Shmecha. And in fact it was the case, but Yevonim, etc., and Tolad Ayoy. But it could very well be that Yakdisha Shmecha is simply we show Kiddush Hashem by keeping Shabbos. Yakiru. As you want, but we have this tremendous need to just unravel, to let the week fall away, and we do that by the Gedolei Legima. We do that by the friendship. We do that by relaxing. The irony is that we are entering a place where relaxation is actually forbidden. That's the amazing thing. So the Rambam says, you want to relax. Wait till the Sa'uda at home. You cannot relax in shul. Relaxation is the exact opposite, an antonym for Kavod Rosh Eima Vafa. That's an incredible Rambam. But when you wrap it all up and you understand that the Rambam is telling you that number one, the whole tachlis of writing the Sefer Torah is that you should have that Eidus at home. And the Rambam says a very interesting lashon, by the way. Take a look. The third line in 3, at the end of the line, after Kavod Rosh and Eima V'fachad, what does the Rambam say? Shehu Ha'eid HaNe'eman, and what are the next 3 words?
V'chol Ba'eilom.
V'chol Ba'eilom. You know what V'chol Ba'eilom means? It's not just for B'nai Yisrael. It's the entire world. The Torah's testimony is for the entire world. Where does the Rambam get that idea from? For Amru Kol Hagoyim Al Me Osa Hashem Kochol La'aretz Hazos Mechoriha Af Hagadol Hazeh. For Amru Al Asher Azu Es Bris Hashem Rikei Avosa. That's where the Rambam got the idea. The testimony of Hazinu is a testimony for the entire world to hear. It's an amazing thing. So if we wrap it all up, these parshiyos of Nitzavim Vayelech and Hazinu have the Ramazim and the Yesodos of what the Sefer Torah is, what it's for according to the Rambam, because of the Shira. We have to have the Shira in our home, and we have to have the Shira in our home because it testifies against us, basically. And it is therefore incumbent upon us to sit before it wherever it is, and I believe even firmly ensconced inside the Aron. The Aron is in a different room or in a different makom, as the Rambam discusses in a Tshuva of his. And the Chacham Avadia, one of his Yechayim Metshuvahs, has Barichus Gedolei Miyod, all the Makairos to this topic. But be that as it may, I believe that the Rambam's ideas, if it is in the same place, even with an Aron closed, it's B'Kavod Rosh Be'Eima V'Fachad. because who ate anem and chol by oilam shenem of hayasham b'chaliyeh. That is the reason for writing the Sefer Torah. That is how you're supposed to deal with the Sefer Torah. That is why Ha'azinu is recited according to the ancient minhag, according to some, in some mekaymos, before Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. And that is also, that parsha of Nitzavim explains what it is exactly that Yaakov Avinu was doing when he exhorted his children, even though he knew that they were perfect. Because this is the last word. And the last word has to be with a challenge. It's not enough that he should just tell it to them straight. What is wrong with you? And they have to say there's nothing wrong with us. The incredible thing is that according to that Medrash, every time we say Kriya Shema, we are saying to Yaakov Avinu, Lo Meis is included in this idea. We say to Yaakov Avinu that all the Doiros aver that we haven't veered from it one iota, not one drop. We are all committed in the same way as your own sons, the Shiftei Koh, that Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and therefore the Shema Yisrael becomes itself a chelek of the Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, which demands the response of Yaakov Avinu in every single moment of Shema Yisrael, and we do that on behalf of Yaakov Avinu Kivayochol. And it is said Balachash, as I told you on the Lumdisha level, simply to separate it from the psukim of the Torah, because it's not part of the parsha, and the mitzvah of Kriya Shema is to lay in the parsha. We should be zeicha to ksiv v'chasim ha-toiva. I have on my, I don't know what the right word is, part of my sense of who I am and what I'm for. You know, everybody has a sense of his own purpose and destiny. You should, anyhow. Why was I created? Why did I come into the world? You become a salesman for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if anybody, either in this audience or whoever hears this in the YU Torah or however else they get it, if anybody could be inspired to themselves change, or even better, to transform their shul into a place of aim of a fachad. By the way, I just want to tell you one thing. Make no mistake about it. You know, they say about the Nevardik was very tough. And, so they said that somebody was inspired by Nevardik. It's not necessarily that they'll make him acquire Olam Haba, but absolutely guaranteed, once you fall into the hands of a Nevardik, that you're not going to have any time in Olam Hazeh. This is not my intention. My intention is not to turn a shul into a mausoleum. That's not my intention. I suspect that when people transform the place into such a place as the Rambam describes, and understand the Sefer Torah, that punkt faket, as they say in Yiddish, the exact opposite will happen. Because the respect and the aura of the shul takes on a different quality. Therefore, the havana of the rav is a different havana. The sense of agency and agenda of what it means to be in shul is radically different. You hear the drasha differently. You hear the words of the psukim differently in the laning. You hear the words of the Siddur differently when you daven, and you come out of there a different and better and happier person. Because eventually a person looks back at the shul, and every once in a while there's a Baal Tshuva that says, I can't understand what's going on over here. This is not what I became a Baal Tshuva for. We are all Baal Tshuva, and there's a Baal Tshuva talking to us all the time. And there's a Baal Tshuva, and part of the Yetzirah, and the Sotah says, well, this is Yiddishkeit. Forget about it. It's nonsense. This is not Yiddishkeit. A person develops a sense of integrity and consistency. That's the greatest source of happiness, the greatest source of genuine joy. That people feel good about themselves, that they're an Eved Hashem, as hard as it is. And people do not feel good about themselves, if they're serious Jews, of lapses and failings. And being stupid, you should forgive me. We don't feel good about ourselves being stupid. We feel nourish. Nourishkeit makes a person feel nourish. And a person who feels nourish, feels foolish, is not a happy person, because he knows better. This is really a recipe, believe it or not, not just to ennoble us, but to enable us. I think the president uses that phrase all the time. No, but seriously speaking, it's not just to ennoble us, it's to make us happy. Not just to make us happy. But it's the kind of happiness that only chashuv people, such as you are, of course, can reach, can arrive at. We're not talking about the shtus and hevel of the street. This is a different kind, a different level of happiness, which is profound and permanent. and we should want it, and we should look to achieve it. And that's my mission. And if I'm Zoicha, even Bezeer Ampin, it's more than Kedai. It was a pleasure.
If anybody brings back your copy of the notes.